Go ahead and be seated, if you would, and take your Bible, and please open it to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 9. It was 2007. Vicki and I made one of the worst decisions we had ever made in our life, and that is we allowed our son to study abroad, and he's never come home. The lesson is, don't let your kids study abroad. They fall in love, get married, and never return. It's not really been a bad decision. I'm kidding. We have the most wonderful, wonderful daughter-in-law. As a matter of fact, I think I may would choose her over my son most of the time. But and they have given us two wonderful grandchildren. But I'll never forget, David Ryan was 18 years old when he was a student at the University of Tennessee his freshman year. And long story short, he wanted to study abroad, and the University of Tennessee, don't anybody spit on the floor or anything when I say that, but anyway, they had an agreement with the University of Swansea Wales, and he could go there, and I didn't have to pay any more money, which was great, but anyway, and so we said that he could go, and I'll never forget, we put him on the airplane, and the thought occurred to me, I've never been there, I don't know where he's living, I know it's on campus somewhere. I'd never been to Swansea, Wales before a day in my life. And I thought to myself, what have I done? I've just sent my 18-year-old son on his own, by himself, and I wondered what was going to happen. Well, the first week that he got there, he went to a church that he saw in the city center of Wales in Swansea, the city of Swansea, called Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. The pastor there, Steve Levy, is a dear friend of mine. I've preached there many times now. But my son went there, and when he went in, he, of course, was an obvious visitor. It's not a large, large congregation. And two elderly women in the congregation, after meeting my son, insisted that he go home with them that day and eat lunch with him. And my son, 18 years of age, went home with two elderly Welsh women, had lunch with them, spent the entire afternoon with them, and went back to church that night. And from that moment on, he became deeply enmeshed and involved in the life of that church. And I want to tell you something. It was one of the most life-changing experiences for my son. I am forever grateful for those two elderly women that decided that they needed to do something to reach out to what the people would commonly call him, American Dave. They loved him. They welcomed him, they invited him in, and they ministered to him. It can be hard to be a new person in a new place. Do you believe that? How many of you have ever had to start anew? Have you ever had to do that? And it's not always easy. And sometimes it's hard to find your spot, and sometimes it can be difficult and challenging to feel accepted, wanted, and loved. Connecting with new people in new places can be challenging. Connecting in the local church is critical. And connecting in the local church is critical to the spiritual health of the church, as well as it is critical in your own spiritual life. When we come to Acts chapter 9, and we have seen the conversion of Saul. Saul, who was breathing threats to the church, comes to saving faith in Jesus Christ. He's in Damascus, and he's declaring that Jesus is the Son of God. One verse that just really struck me was verse 22. The Bible says, Saul kept increasing in strength, confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus. And what was he doing? Proving that Jesus is the Christ. Now, the amazing thing about this 22nd verse that's so powerful is, if you remember, that Saul was taught by one of the leading rabbinical teachers by the name of Gamaliel. And Saul was an Old Testament expert as a Pharisee. And so when God opened his eyes to see that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Saul just simply opened the Old Testament and proved to the Jewish people in Damascus that Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that you read in the Old Testament. Well, they didn't like that. So they threatened him. And over time, they eventually had to help Saul escape, and he made his way to Jerusalem. Notice what happens in verse 26. When he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. Now, according to Galatians chapter 1 and in verse 18, it appears that the Apostle Paul probably spent about 15 days in Jerusalem. But if you remember, he had left Jerusalem to go and arrest Christians, and now he comes back a few years later, and Saul is now preaching Christ. So you can kind of understand their hesitation and their concern with whether or not this man truly was a follower of Jesus, or was he a spy? Was he being a person that was hiding who he really was to try to find out who the real Christians really are? They were hesitant to bring him in because of who he had been. But nevertheless, the Bible tells us a very interesting story, and that is a man that we were introduced to in Acts chapter 4 by the name of Barnabas, the son of encouragement. The Bible says in verse 27, Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had taken to him, and how at Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. Now, when we read this text, we're reading about Saul, who would become Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, was being assimilated in and accepted in to the church in Jerusalem that he may be sent out. And when we read about this, we're going to learn that connecting with God's people requires both personal effort and fellow believers who are willing to help others connect. I want to make a statement to you this morning, and I want you to hear this because I want it to be embedded in your heart and in your mind. You are personally responsible to help other people connect to the local church. Now, there are three things that I'm going to share this morning. Three things that I want to share with you. And the first of those is that you are responsible to connect and commit to the local church. There are two reasons this is so. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. This is a introduction to get you to the second thing that I want to focus on, which is found here in verse 27 and following of Acts chapter 9. When I say to you that you are personally responsible to connect and commit to the local church, it always has to begin with an understanding of what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about why I'm to have a relationship with a local congregation, why it matters? Well, there's two things. One is the biblical pattern, and the second one is the spiritual importance or the spiritual principle of it. It's a necessity. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 13. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. Notice the live in peace with one another. Paul is writing to the Thessalonians and talking about their relationship with spiritual leaders as well as with one another. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, Paul says he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastor teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, I'm going to jump down several verses just for the sake of time, but I want you to notice what it says in verse 16. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:25, lay aside falsehood, speak truth to each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. In Romans, Paul writes in chapter 12, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, and practicing hospitality. We all know what Hebrews chapter 10 says, hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I could go on and on and on reading Bible verses, but the bottom line is this. If you study the Old Testament and you study the New Testament, the biblical pattern is that God's people are identified by being in community one with another in the assembly of the saints. And in the New Testament, it's the local gathering of the church. There is a biblical pattern for the priority of the local church, not attending a religious service, but living in community with one another, serving Christ, ministering to one another, and carrying the mission of the gospel to the ends of the earth. Now, there's a lot more to it than that, but I wanted to simply say there is a biblical pattern throughout the scripture of God's people identifying together. But it's also a spiritual necessity. Listen to this quote. Biblical church membership is important because the church presents God's witness to himself in the world. It displays his glory. In the church's membership, meaning all of those who belong to the church in the local gathering, non-Christians should see in the lives of God's changed people that God is holy, gracious, and that his gospel is powerful for saving and transforming sinners. It's how we experience and embody the biblical imagery. It's how we serve other Christians, and it gives structure to the Christian life. I cannot emphasize how important not just attending a church is, but I want to stress how important it is to belong and immerse yourself in the life with other believers. This week, I watched as young couples showed up Friday night from the Roses Life Group. And immediately they wanted to buy dinner for them. They wouldn't even let Philip and I give them any money to help out. They wanted to do it themselves. Other long-term folks that they've been in life together with at our church over the years, showing up, being there, hugging their neck, ministering to their need. I talked to a young couple that has had a death in their family out of town, and so they've had to leave. And here's the statement that was made to me yesterday on the phone. We don't need anything, Pastor, because we're going to be gone. But I have no doubt that if we needed something, our life group would be there for us. Isn't that wonderful? Let's look at the text for today. In Acts chapter 9, the thing that we learn is this. You and I are responsible to help others connect and commit to the local church. So what happens? Saul goes to Jerusalem. The disciples, I mean, it doesn't mention Peter and John or any of the other ones running out going, hey, Saul, come on in. They're very reticent to do or say anything, and it takes a man by the name of Barnabas, literally, that offers an introduction to the church in Jerusalem. And what happens here? First of all, there is a recognition. Barnabas saw what was happening. In verse 27, Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and began to describe to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, that he had talked to him, and how at Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. Barnabas was aware enough to recognize that Saul needed help getting connected to the Christians in Jerusalem. Now, I want to encourage all of us that there are people that come to our church, there are people that visit our church, there are people that attend on a regular basis that maybe they don't know a lot of people. We've had almost 300 people join our church since October 1st. And all of those folks need somebody to reach out and love them and encourage them. And sometimes it's a recognition. Sometimes it's just taking the time to do what happened in this service months ago when a young college girl came to this church for the very first time, and one of our elderly adults went over and said, "Are you new?" She was, and that sweet lady said, "No, you're not going to sit by yourself. You're sitting with us today." Recognizing, being aware of people that are around you that may not know where they're going, they may not know where to take their children, they may not know where a life group is, but helping people, recognizing somebody may need your help. Second thing that we see here from Barnabas is not only recognition, but risk. Do you realize the risk that Barnabas took when he reached out and invited Saul to come with him to introduce him to the disciples? I mean, Saul had been a murderer. He had been a torturer. He had been chasing Christians down. He had been a hater of Jesus and his followers. And all of a sudden, Barnabas reaches out to him and wants to bring him in. I remember in Shelbyville one year when we tried to help this couple that had come through town in a car with a baby, and what they said was their uncle in the car with them. Come to find out, they were ex-convicts that were kind of going through stealing from everybody, and we helped them out, put them up in a hotel room, and truth of the matter, listen to this, this is true. So I did not know what was going on. We were just trying to do the things Jesus called us to do. I would get this young man in my car and drive him all over town trying to get him a job, and suddenly they disappeared. I got a call from the police station. They said, "Can you come down here?" And I was driving to the police station thinking, I don't know which staff member it is, but I'm going to kill him. And I get down there and they show me a video of America's Most Wanted. And that young man and the other man that was with them and the young lady and the baby, they didn't have them in the video, but these two men were considered two of America's Most Wanted. They had been former convicts, earned multiple college degrees in jail. The young man was a martial arts expert, could have killed me at any time. And they have been going around houses all over Bedford County in Tennessee, stealing out of people's homes. Had a trunk load of guns when they wrecked the rental car they stole from one of my church members. And in Texas, they were finally arrested. And the detective said, "Preacher, you've been helping these people." So what? I'd rather take the risk than not. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that whoever you're sitting next to this morning is a convict on the run. What I am, if you think you're sitting next to one, we have security. Listen to me. What I am saying is this: ministry is not easy and ministry is risky. And all around you are people that desperately need to be loved and encouraged and included. And if every member of our church, if everyone here every week would be on the lookout for someone new, and if you would just be kind, If you would speak, don't save seats and tell them you're there in your seat. Don't ever do that. Nobody owns any seat here, amen? Not even me. If you want to come and sit in my seat next week, I'll move. It's okay. But sometimes it's a little risky. Sometimes what Barnabas did is not easy, and you got to get out of your comfort zone and just show people that you care. Amen? When I look at this, Barnabas took personal responsibility to help Saul connect and commit to the church in Jerusalem. He recognized Saul needed help. He took the risk to step out of his own comfort zone and say, Saul, come with me. Literally, the Bible says he took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and disciples and described to them how he had seen the Lord. The third thing that we see in here is regard. In verses 28 through 30, the Bible says he was with them moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. He was talking and arguing with the Hellenistic Jews, but they were attempting to put him to death. I mean, Saul never let up. He was still preaching Jesus. He was concerned about their soul. And you know, when I look at Barnabas, the son of encouragement, you know what I think that Barnabas saw when he saw Saul? He regarded him as a person of worth. He regarded Saul connecting to the church in Jerusalem as more important than any risk that he was going to take. When I read this passage in Acts chapter 9, I'm just amazed at verse 27, because I think that what it says to us is that we should regard people who come to gather with us as valuable and important. And every one of us ought to do everything we can to help people connect in the life of this church. Listen, I don't know what's going to happen in your life this week. I hope nothing bad happens in your life this week. But when you get that phone call that maybe someone has passed, or maybe that you get a call that you didn't want to ever get from a doctor, or maybe you lose your job. And if you're on the outside of the church, if maybe you attend but nobody knows you're here, or you don't ever connect with a group in the church, you don't ever get involved in getting to know other people, it's hard to know how to love you and serve you and minister to you. And that's why those of us that are here, we have got to do everything we can to regard people with value and to try to do everything that we can to connect them, because people that are not known can't be ministered to. Those that are known and loved can be ministered to when a time arises in their life. I've had so many of the older adults in our church walk up to me and say, here's my name, I want you to know me so when I die, you can do my funeral. And I know that sounds crazy, but I get it, and I'm glad you do. It's one of the reasons this last fall we started that gathering in which we met that led to our Wednesday morning study, because I just wanted to know you. You and I, every single one of us, have a personal responsibility to help people connect and commit in the local church. We have to recognize the need. We have to be risky sometimes, but we have to regard people as valuable to the kingdom of God and the church. Do you agree with all this? There's a fourth thing we learn, and that is that there's reward in this. Notice what happens in this passage in verse 31. The church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase. I believe with all my heart that people want to know that they're valued and they're loved and they're appreciated. And when a church cares for one another and there's a permeating love among God's people and ministry to one another is important and life groups are functioning well, I want to tell you what happens. God's work grows and people come to know Christ and lives are changed. It's true. Now, there's a major transition that happens now. We're going to talk about the ministry of Peter, and we're going to talk about the identification that Gentiles can come to faith. We won't hear again from the Apostle Paul, who was Saul, again until Acts chapter 13. But it was in this moment that Barnabas said, I'm going to take him. I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to regard him as important because there's a reward and connecting people with God's church when they come to faith in Jesus Christ. And it's all of our responsibility. I would rather someone tell me, I am so irritated about how nice your church is. Everybody's inviting me to their life group and I'm tired of it. I'd rather hear that than somebody say, you know, I went to your church and nobody invited me to their group. Or nobody spoke to me on a Sunday. Hey, if you don't know them and you don't know if they may have been a member here for 40 years. It doesn't matter. Say, hey, are you a member here? I'd love to meet you. Here's my name. What's your name? Barnabas is an illustration of the responsibility that you and I have to help people connect and commit to the local church. Isn't this a beautiful picture? I want to end with this. How can I help others connect and commit? What do you do? You can help others connect and commit, first of all, by including them in worship. Introduce yourself. Just simply sit by someone that's by themselves. You don't know if maybe their family's out that day or maybe they've come by themselves. I want to tell you something. I want to commend people that come by themselves. You know, when I first got saved, nobody in my family went to church but me. I was so scared. I didn't know anything. I didn't know what to do, where to go. I didn't know anything. And when I walked in, I didn't even know how to sing. I'd never sung from a church hymnal before. And I remember what it was like going in by myself for the first time. Now, thankfully, I knew that Vicky went there. So that turned out okay. But I want to tell you something. Thank you for coming when you're alone. And I also want to say to those that are widows and widowers in our church that come by themselves because their spouse is deceased, your church loves you. And every now and then, somebody ought to just come along and say, hey, why don't you come sit with us? Include them in worship. The second thing that you can do is you can invite them to a group. Tom Rader made the following statement. Church members in a group are more likely to read their Bibles regularly. They're more likely to share their faith. They give more abundantly to the church. They're more likely to stick with the church over time. In fact, earlier studiers found that a member who was in a group was 5 times more likely to stick than a member who was not. The fourth thing that you can do is not only invite them to a group, but you can. The third thing you can do is involve them in ministry. Help them get connected in a place to serve, whether it's a greeter, an usher, singing in the choir, working in preschool, serving on some capacity, whatever it may be, help them get involved in ministry. And fourth, involve them in the mission. Invite them to a mission trip. Invite them to participate in a serve day. Invite them in a work day here at church. Get them to go on the disaster relief training so they can help be a part of the chainsaw team. It's pretty cool. But help them find not only a place of ministry to serve, but help them grab hold of the mission of what God has called us to do here in our church. You personally have the responsibility to get involved and be committed and connected to a local church. But at the same time, every single one of us need to be a Barnabas. And what we need to do is this. We need to do everything that we can to recognize people, to regard them as highly important, to take whatever risks are necessary to try to include them in the life of the body, because there is great, great reward when we do. And all God's people said, amen. I want you to stand this morning. You know, our staff spends a lot of time trying to do this. And I want to tell you something, that we don't do it because our goal is bigger attendance. I don't think one day when I get to heaven, God's going to look at me and go, well, your church wasn't big enough, Daryl. Who does that impress? Isn't that just about me and the ego if I think that way? But the reason our staff works so hard to try to connect people is because we know if they don't connect, if they don't get involved, if they don't do life with others, they're on an island. They may get missed when a ministry need arises. They won't grow as much in their faith, and they won't fulfill God's calling on their life. Now, I'm speaking to someone this morning. You've been attending Whitesburg, and you know God wants you to join. If you do, you come. We'll talk to you and hear your story. And if that's God calling you to join, we want to help you join. But I'm also speaking to others that right now you have church friends or people you know that's going through a really hard time. And I want to invite you to do something. Maybe the Lord's leading you to just come to this altar and pray for them and to pray for our church, that we would be a place where the love of Jesus is so flowing among our people that those that are far from God would come and say, man, I need that. If you're here this morning and you've never met Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, there is so much joy in knowing Christ. If you'll come and speak to me or one of our pastors, we'll talk to you about what it means to know Christ. We're going to sing a simple invitation song. I'm going to pray, we're going to sing, and if God's spoken to you about either making a decision to join our church, or maybe you just want to come to the altar and pray for our church or pray for someone in our church, or maybe you need to speak with a pastor, I want you to come. Father, I praise you and I thank you for this morning. God, you know that this message has been in my heart, and I believe it, Lord. I believe that what Barnabas did is such an important example for me and for every one of us. Help us to reach out, help us to encourage, and help us to be a blessing. And we'll give you praise and glory for that. In Jesus' name.